Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to be bringing you one of the best shows happening in New York once again. This is a wonderful, wonderful series. You have to check it out. And joining us to talk to us about this, we have one of the co-producers of the New York chapter, Christian Cadigal, and one of the speakers, Jennifer Batt, who are here to talk to us about Odd Salon and their upcoming presentation of Wonder. It's happening Wednesday, May 8th at Under St. Mark's, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We've had the honor of having Odd Salon on our show several times, and so this is another fantastic conversation we're about to have, and this time about a wonderful theme. So let's go ahead and welcome on our guests. Let's get right to it. So Christian, Jennifer, welcome back to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So excited to have the two of you here. We are now talking about this new, I guess, episode, if you will, Blunder. So first, Christian, can I have you kind of refresh our listeners' drinks and tell us a little bit about what Odd Salon is?
Yes, Odd Salon is a short cocktail hour talks about the far out, far flung, and forgotten people, places, and stories in history. It's always done under a theme. So our next theme is Blunder. It's curated by our new co-producer we spoke last time on the show with, Olivia Orbell. And she curated and picked the six talks from submissions from regular speakers and new speakers that she wanted to represent Odd Salon NYC Blunder. And among them, we have stories about how lithium was accidentally discovered to be great for bipolar disorder. And Sarah Grant will be talking about Alexander the Great and the perils of not listening to good advice. Pam Segura, who I think will be giving her third talk, when you become a fellow of Odd Salon, dear listener, when you give three talks and you get a little pin that has our little logo, has our little Harvey the Wallpertinger on it, and we all chant, one of us, one of us. And then our very own Jennifer Batt will be talking about the OG Karens of the Confederacy.
That sounds amazing. Jennifer, I want to kind of bring you in now because I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your piece, what it's about and whatnot.
Sure. So my talk is entitled Ladies Memorial Association, the OG Karens of the Confederacy. And really what it dives into is how instrumental women were and women's associations were in creating and propagating the lost cause in understanding the Confederacy and the Civil War. During COVID, I spent a lot of time, I had a lot of time on my hands. And so I took a course on the Civil War because my education wasn't great growing up. And so what fascinated me is if you look at things during the period, everything is very, very clear. This is a war about emancipation. This is a war about slavery. This is what, more than 500,000 men died for. And afterwards, that's just kind of forgotten, particularly in the South, but also in the North. And this alternative narrative takes place about the causes of the war. And it's renamed the War of the States. And it's basically described as a war of like two white brothers that couldn't get along. And that's really not what it was about. It was not what it was about during the time. That's not what anybody understood it as the time. And I wanted to understand how this different narrative took hold.
I love that. That's going to be a fantastic talk. Yes. So I'm curious to know, Jennifer, again, speaking with you, how is it that you came upon Odd Salon?
So I volunteer for an archive, and there was a woman who also worked in the archive who was already a member, and she said, Odd Salon regularly invites people into its fold. It is a community. And so she thought that, I have deep interest in some historical topics, and she advocated that I put forward one of the topics that I was interested in, and put me on the stage. And that's something Odd Salon regularly does. That's part of its mission, is to incorporate people into the fold, to not just be audience members, but to encourage them to be speakers as well.
Yes, that is a fantastic answer. I love that. Now, Christian, I'm going to come back to you for this. I know that your other co-producer, your other cohort, Olivia, was the one to, if you will, curate these pieces this time. But as we're approaching the show itself, I'm curious to know, what has it been like developing this edition of Odd Salon?
from my standpoint as just the co-producer, I'm more of her backup, kind of handle the nuts and bolts of just communicating with the theater and the publicist and doing some of the online promotion, while Olivia has been in there, you know, dealing with the submissions and deciding what she wanted to represent for Blender this time. But normally when you're curating, you know, we open up submissions these days the day after the last show, and we let people know what the next topic is and the submissions we're kind of going for, and then people can submit online at oddsalon.com/speak. And you also find our next few episodes, shall we say, our next few salons. In July, we have Mischief being curated by a guest curator, Matthew Codner, who's one of our fellows. And then 2 months later, Jennifer will be curating her first time as well. So that'll be exciting.
That is fantastic. How exciting. Yes. Jennifer, I want to ask you, we've obviously got the general theme of Blender, you know, across the board for this iteration of Odd Salon. But with your story in particular, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences will walk away with?
I think it's really kind of understanding that it's adding, what I think it does is it really highlights the roles that Ladies Memorial Associations and then the United Daughters of the Confederacy, and how instrumental they were in pushing a narrative, and how during the time period, you know, it was thought that, you know, men are politically engaged, men have, you know, full political rights, and women just aren't interested in these things. And because women just aren't interested in these things, all of the work that they were doing to create a platform for ex-Confederate soldiers to advocate for the Confederacy, to say, you know, basically create this alternative nation state to be proud of, was kind of pushed to the side, ignored, and not kind of clamped down on as the, you know, men saying the same things. Men were required to take an oath of loyalty after the war. Women were not. And so men could not say all these, the treasonous things that women were allowed to, because women were thought to be apolitical. It's really just like bringing, you know, women back into the narrative who had been historically ignored.
That is a fantastic idea. I love that. My final question for this first part, Christian, I'm going to throw at you, and I'm curious to know, I mean, this event and the space that it's in, very intimate, very wonderful. Is there a particular audience you hope have access to the show?
I mean, ideally, we want everyone to have access to the show. Actually, we have the in-person tickets, and those are generally $25. We have the online tickets. If you still don't feel comfortable in a quote unquote post-COVID world, you can watch from home for $20, and you can still actually watch that later on. You get the recording of that. And then we're also doing the watch party when we sell out, which, by the way, actually, we've now just sold out of the in-person tickets. So, but fear not, you can buy the watch party ticket, which is essentially the streaming ticket. But then you go around the corner to St. Dymphna's Bard along the park there, along Tompkins Square. And there's a watch party in the back, and you listen on your phone, and you can buy more drinks and yell things like ships and maps like we do in the room. And then we all join you for the after party there. But so there's three ways of being able to enjoy the show and not be left out. But it's actually sliding scale for all of them. So, you know, if you can afford $1, you can come see the show. If you can afford $101, we'll take that as well, because that helps someone else see the show for $1. And it helps us continue doing what we're doing. But the whole idea, a large part of how Odd Salon came to be, you know, came from San Francisco, where, as an entity, we've been around for 10 years now on both coasts. And the idea was always experts and enthusiastic amateurs. The idea that you know, anybody can be a fan of history and educate themselves and educate their friends on things we were never taught in school. And things like that help to change the narrative of culture. And maybe that also changes you, the audience, or you, the speaker, and how you approach the world or your fellow human beings. So ideally, it's for anybody and everybody. We want all voices telling stories from forgotten history that we've never heard about from all walks of life.
Please listen carefully.
Well, yeah. For the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And of course, Christian, we have had the honor of speaking with you before, but Jennifer, you are new to this game. So yeah. I want to start by asking you, Jennifer, our regular first question, which is what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites?
Some of my favorites. So I really like the docudrama style of theater. So The Projects, I think, is an absolutely amazing piece. I saw that in Chicago about the rise of The Projects in Chicago. Dana H by Lucas Neff, I think, is amazing. And as far as like playwrights, I follow anything Alicia Harris does. I love Tracy Letts, Keith Huff, Neil LaBute are some of my favorites.
That is an absolutely fantastic list. I love those. Christian, I want to ask you, how is it you got into the performing arts?
Oh, you know, the usual line is only child, no dates in high school. That's how that works. You know, I was always inclined. I'm latter Gen X, and I grew up with, you know, TV from the 70s and 80s and reruns and whatnot, and a lot of sitcoms that were essentially stage plays back then, right? It kind of more how they played out, and grew up watching first run and rerun of Carol Burnett and the variety shows of the era. And there's only so many channels, so we all watch the same, you know, old musicals on a Sunday afternoon, right? Because that's what they played. And so that kind of already was priming me, I think, for wanting to be a performer in some way, shape, or form. And then I also grew up in just outside San Francisco, where there was, in that time, there was this whole kind of vaudeville nouveau thing that was developing, and street performing was a thing. You know, before Penn and Teller became Penn and Teller, they were part of a trio that was performing in North Beach in San Francisco, doing kind of their weird artsy music magic performance art show, right? So I was kind of, there was already like performance and comedy and vaudeville and street performers, and all that was just kind of in the air where I grew up. And it eventually filtered down to me. And somewhere along the line, as a kid, I saw enough magic shows on TV and I was like, I want to do that. Because, you know, when you see a magician on TV, they're already rich and famous. They're not struggling. And so you think that sounds like a great life plan. And same thing with the actors, right? But I also loved, like I said, I also loved musicals. And so I got into that. And actually, I got into high school theater because I wanted to be a better magician, because I figured I could take what I learned from theater and apply it to being a magician. But you know what happens when you take acting class in high school, you just fall down that rabbit hole and you become an actor. So I did that. I got my degree in theater arts from SF State University, while also slowly developing a burgeoning musical theater career in the Bay Area. But I always knew I wanted to get back to the magic work that I wanted to create, or didn't really know what I wanted to create. So after a few years of doing that, and even working with the San Francisco Mime Troupe, which is actually not traditional mime, long story, what's called mime troupe, but it's the longest living political theater company in the nation. Big socialist red star from back in the late 50s, early 60s, doing free shows in the park for the people, satirizing the political climate. So it was great to like have that be like my weekly salary job with healthcare benefits, you know? But after a while, I wanted to continue working on my own work, on my own magic work. And so I kind of rebranded myself from being cute, funny sidekick guy, as I always was in musicals in the Bay Area, to weirdly spooky magician, where I worked on, you know, taking all the experience I had in theater and musicals and political theater and new works and avant-garde theater and play creation and trying to create my own shows and my own narratives and experiences, sort of immersive experiences while seated, didn't make anybody walk around, but, you know, immersive-ish experiences for an audience to be in where magic happens with them and to them, as opposed to just watch me on stage. And I did that for many years, and I have a little oeuvre of shows that I've created. And then I started coming to New York more often because I wanted to get those shows done here. And I'm still on that very slow war path to making that happen. But along the way, I actually ended up buying a haunted history walking tour, which I think we talked about last time, that I helped create. And back in 1998, my friend ran it for many years. Retired. I bought it from him. It's been my baby the past few years. And it's been what's financially helped me leverage a life in New York, oddly enough. And so suddenly I became like this amateur history nerd that I never thought I was going to become. And so it kind of fit perfectly with what I was already doing in magic and spookiness. And along the way, I discovered Odd Salon, and I met Annetta from Odd Salon and got whisked away into that world. And it was kind of became a great way for me to be able to be a performing artist without having to rehearse a whole play. I just got to like work on my little 10-minute performance and be among people who weren't necessarily performers because, you know, we're weird. The rest of Absalon, completely normal. Normies everywhere. Oh my God. No, it's not. It's a lie. And I loved it so much. And I was coming to New York more often that I was kind of like, well, hey, bosses, what if I help spearhead one in New York? And here we are. And that's my whole life in a nutshell.
I love that. It's fantastic. And we've now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Or Christian, in your case, what's another of your favorite memories?
I'll have two real quick. One is when I saw the projects in Chicago, that completely shifted my mindset and understanding how that city operates and how that city functions. Gangs have been an issue in Chicago. They're still an issue in Chicago, but they really were given rise to out of a utopian dream for ideal housing in the 60s. And they became overrun by the children outnumbering the adults, which gave rise to the gangs, is the children trying to protect each other from the other children that were allowed to run amok because there was not enough parental supervision. But the projects were initially meant to be an ideal utopian housing accommodations, and they became overrun and with children, and that gave rise to the gangs that still plague Chicago today. So that was completely mind-altering. I had no idea, and that entire piece is a docudrama, and so you're learning about the history of the projects from the standpoint of the people that actually lived there. So that was really mind-blowing to me. And as far as like more traditional theater, Burning Bluebeard is the annual holiday show in Chicago, which I saw its first run. It was an annual tradition. I don't know if it still is, but it is about the Indian Theater fire. And that was just a devastating experience. And Chicago, unlike New York, Chicago does not give standing ovations to anyone. I have seen 5 in 10 years of being in Chicago that got a standing ovation because of how well that narrative was told. And just really, you feel like you are in the theater that is burning down around you. So those two were both, you know, very resonated with me. So,
wow. Wow. What great shows. What great memories. Thank you for those. Christian, we come to you with this question yet again.
A great recent one has been, so I occasionally am a fill-in for as a magician for this show here in the city called Speakeasy Magic. Originally came out of the whole Sleep No More McKittrick Hotel entertainment complex. It's still part of the company, so to speak, but the show has its own venue now out in the Flatiron. And I won't give much away, but it's lots of cool magic and lots of cool magicians, and I don't want to give too much away for any of your audience members who may want to see it because it's sort of a thing that happens. But there's a regular cast and then kind of a little rotating replacement cast. I'm part of that rotating fill-in cast. And one of the magicians who gets to come in and out of the show quite often, his name is Peter Samuelson. And he is a legend, especially somebody who early on was trying to combine magic and theater and storytelling and theater, which is very much what I do. And I still have memories. And as a kid in California, I didn't get to be exposed to what was going on in the East Coast at all, of course, or in LA, because I was up in San Francisco. So whatever was on TV was what you saw. And so I still have memories of seeing TV clips of Peter in 1989, you know, when I'm 12, doing what would later on become some of his like iconic storytelling and magic pieces. And then, you know, to be, you know, what is it, 30 years later, to get to call him my friend and get to like hang out with him and then go to like, let's have a coffee and then go to work together, right? You know, we don't perform together. I don't want to give it away, but you know, we're in the same room performing. And so, I mean, that's a great recent theater memory of like, here is a hero who to me is still, you know, footage from when I was 12 in my head, but they're a real human being. I get to like, do a show with, and then maybe have some pasta afterwards, right? So that I would call that a more recent great theater memory.
It's such a fantastic memory as well. Both of you, thank you for those stellar memories. Those are wonderful. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you or the Odd Salon have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Yes. So May 8th, we have Blunder, which again, people can get the watch party tickets, which we highly encourage because there's a bar involved. Odd Salon is all about having a drink while hearing weird and obscure stuff from history. And then we'll join you afterwards. On July 24, we have Mischief. September 18, our own Jennifer Batt will be curating Brazen. November 13, Humbug. And then December 18, we will have Oddments 4. Oddments is always our December show. It's kind of the potpourri of odd things that did not fit throughout the year and all the other shows. And it is our peculiar potpourri that we have. And yeah.
That is all so fantastic. I'm so excited. A full calendar year of Odd Salon. This is exciting. Book your calendars now. Get your tickets right away. This is wonderful. And it's a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Blunder or about Odd Salon or about you two, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
For Odd Salon, you can just go to Odd Salon, in case it sounds weird the way I say it, because people say Odd Salon, Odd Salon, oddsalon.com to learn more about Odd Salon. You can also find us on Facebook. You can find our public group, Something Weird, Learn Something Weird on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram. You can find me at christiancadjigal.com. If you want to join my Haunted History walking tour in June, July, and October, you can go to sfghosthunt.com. And that's me.
Well, Christian, Jennifer, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing this upcoming edition of Odd Salon. I'm so excited. And for just sharing all the other insight you did with us. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
My guest today has been the co-producer of Odd Salon, Christian Cadjigal, and one of the speakers at this upcoming event, Jennifer Batt. They, of course, joined us to speak about Odd Salon's presentation of Blunder. It's happening Wednesday, May 8th at Under St. Mark's. Tickets and more information are available at frigid.nyc. Currently, in-person tickets are sold out, but that doesn't mean the watch party is. And that's a fabulous way to check this show out. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But you're going to want to run, not walk, to frigid.nyc and get your tickets now for Odd Salon's Blunder, Wednesday, May 8th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.